Our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for an opportunity once again in the house of the Lord. Amen? We give you the praise and the glory, Lord. Every time that we gather in the house, the Bible says you are in the midst when two or three are gathered in your name. So we know that you are here, and we want to hear from you this morning. We need a word from you, Lord. We need to hear from you. And we pray that you will speak to our hearts this morning. And according to your word, we know every time that word goes forth, it brings light. Now let that light shine in our hearts this morning. And may you be glorified in the message of the Lord. We give you all praise and glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, this morning, I want to speak on doing the will of God. Amen? Amen. Doing the will of God. Now, and I am going to read you a story from the Bible. Now, some of you may know this story. And if you don't know it, you will hear it this morning. And then I will give some, you know, I speak a little bit, some revelation into that story. And of course, Jesus told it himself. In Matthew chapter 21 is where we are going to start. Matthew chapter 21, and I am going to start at verse 28. Matthew 21 and verse 28. And Jesus said, "For what think ye? A certain man had two sons." Now, that's a certain man that had two sons. So Jesus was talking specifically about a situation where a man had two sons. Now, in this particular case, you know, he doesn't say that the kingdom of God is like unto a man that had two sons. He didn't say that here. You know, whether it's a parable or anecdote, I don't know. But it seems to me that it was actually a situation that Jesus knew about. You know, but there is a prophetic rendition to this story as well. But anyway, he said, a certain man had two sons. And he came to the first and said, "Son, go work today in my vineyard." And he answered and said, now that's the son, said to his father, "I will not." In other words, he said, "No, I'm not going to do it." But afterward, he repented and went. Now, he came to the second. In the meantime, you know, because he said no, so the father went to the second one and said, "Son, go into my vineyard today and do some work." And the second one said, "Yes, sir, I'm on it." But he went not. And so Jesus turned around and asked them in verse 31, "Which of these two did his father's will?" And I want to ask the church today, this story of the man that had two sons, wherein he came to the first and said, "I want you to go to my vineyard and do some work today." And he said, "No, I'm not going to do it." And then he went to the second, because the first one said no. So he went to the second. You know, perhaps if the first one had said yes, maybe he wouldn't have even bothered to go to the second. But because the first one said no, so he now went to the second and said, "Well, I want you to go to my vineyard and do some work today." And this man said, "Right away, sir." But he didn't. And the first one that said, "No, I'm not going to do it," thought about it after a while and said, "Well, you know, I think I should do what my father asked." So he repented and he went and did it. Now, the question is, which of the two sons, the one that said no or the one that said yes initially, which of them did his father's will? The one that said no? The first one. Okay. So Jesus, he said, now look, listen to what Jesus said right after that. I want you to listen to this. Listen to what he said right after that. I'm going to read it to you. And he said, "Verily I say unto you, that the publicans," that's sinners or whatever, "and the harlots, and all of the rejects, and all the people that people have written off as being sinners," he turned around and said, "they will go into the kingdom of God before you Pharisees and you hypocrites." You know, And then he said, you know, but let me break it down and explain that in case you don't understand it. What the Lord is saying here is this. There be people that say yes to God, but don't do His will. And Jesus is saying that, you know, you think that you are righteous just because you have said yes to God, but you are not doing His will. See, saying yes to God without doing His will means nothing to the Lord. Hello, somebody. You know, and most people that come to church, most people that are saved, quote unquote, they've said yes to God at some point in time. They say, oh, yes, Lord, you know, but are they doing the will of God? See, now, the ones that said no, they couldn't care less, they had no business with God, you know, and so forth like that. They, you know, they call them harlots, they call them sinners, they call them rejects, they call them everything else. You know, people have labeled them and so forth, you know, that they, because these people have said no to God. But sometime they repent. They give their lives to Christ. They turn around and begin to do the will of God. And then God said, those ones will enter the kingdom of God first before the ones that said yes, but are not doing the will of God. Can somebody still understand this story? That's right. Now, by the time we finish the message, you will understand it better. You know. So, what are you saying then? Well, here's what I'm saying. I'm going to break it down and take it slow this morning because this is very important. In Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse 21, Jesus will take this point even further. And here's what he says, look. He said, not everyone that says unto me, yes, Lord, you know, or Lord, Lord, or yes, Lord, whatever way you want to call it. Not everyone that says unto me, yes, Lord, you know, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is Jesus speaking. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Now, are you telling me that the gateway to heaven is doing the will of the Father? Absolutely. Hello, somebody. It's not just saying yes. You know, it is doing the will of my Father which is in heaven. And here Jesus even went further and said, look, many will come to me on that day, and they will say unto me, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then the Lord said, then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart unto me, ye unrighteous. That's the same as ye that walk in iniquity. You know. Why did he say that? You know, he didn't argue that they didn't do those works that they claim. In fact, nobody can stand before God and say something, you know, different than what the fact is. You know, because every time you stand before God, finally, it's going to be just like it is. You can't say anything different. You know, so those people actually did those things. You know, you say, well, they did those things. Yes, they did do those things. But Jesus said, well, they did not do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Wow. Now that can be very hard, you know, for some to understand, but by the grace of God, I'm going to break it down this morning. You know, how do we do the will of God? You know, if doing all these other things, you know, and so forth, Jesus said, well, he's not saying that doing those things is not part of the will of God, but he is saying that because they live in sin, because they live an unrighteous life, see, all those other things that they did didn't matter. Why? Because the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, he said, if a righteous man forsake his righteousness and then go into sin and die in his sin, he shall die in his sin. You know, and he'll be judged by that. You know, so walking iniquity or living in sin negates all these other things. And so you can see from this scripture that doing the will of God primarily is living a righteous life. How many of you can say amen? That's what he's saying here in this scripture. You know, I don't know how else to say, you know, because he said, look, all these other things, because of your iniquity, they're negated, you know. And he's saying that, you know, those that do the will of God. So the definition of doing the will of God according to this scripture is living a righteous life. You know, that's number one. You know, but there is more to this message than just that. There are many aspects of this message that I want to bring about. You know, and if you're new here this morning, well, we preach all kinds of messages all the time. You know, we preach deliverance and faith and joy and all these kind of messages. But God wanted me to bring this morning. This is kind of a little sober message here this morning. It's different, you know, but, you know, God will have us know every word of God. Amen? Amen, people? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. So we cannot pick and choose the part of the word of God that we want to preach and leave others out. We got to preach. You know, sometimes it may sting a little bit, you know, but it'll heal you. Amen? Praise God. You know, so here is this message. And of course, at the end of it, it's a joyful message anyway. You know, now, there's a story here in Matthew chapter 12. You know, and I want to, you know, I want to bring something out here. In Matthew chapter 12, you know, of course, you know, Jesus, you know, who was born into a natural family, just like many of you, although born a different way, we know that. You know, so, you know, he had a mother and he had brothers, you know, and so forth like that. You know, so, you know, and listen to this. In Matthew chapter 12 and verse 48. Well, let me start at verse 46. So while he yet talked to the people, while Jesus was talking, now behold, his mother and his brethren stood without, desiring to speak with him. So one of the people who were around him, I suppose one of the disciples, came and said unto him, hey, you know, your mother, it's kind of like Jesus is here, you know, talking and all the crowd and everybody is there and so forth. And in the meantime, his mother and his natural brothers, who were children of his mother, you know, and children of Joseph, you know, were outside. They wanted to speak to him. And so there was a lot of people. So, you know, some of the inner circle, one person in the inner circle, they got a message across to him. Hey, go tell Jesus, you know, we want to speak to him. His mother is there and so forth, you know. And you know how it is, you know. I mean, look, the mother, the brothers, the family, they always seem to have, you know, inside, you know, no matter who you are. Amen? Yeah, I don't care if you're the president of the United States or whoever you are. Your family, you know, has, you know, even places where the Secret Service cannot go. Your family can go. Amen? That's right. Because that's who they are. You know, they can go into his bedroom because he's their dad, even though he's the president. You know, and so on. You know, so, you know, these people wanted access to him and so forth. And of course, as soon as people recognize, oh, your mother is here. Oh, his brothers are here. You know, they quickly went and told Jesus. But listen to the answer of Jesus. This might surprise some of you. Here's what he said. When they said to him, behold, your mother and your brethren are standing outside and they are desiring to speak with you. Here's what he said. But he answered and said unto them, unto him that told him, you know, came and told him that your family is waiting to see you. He turned around and said, who is my mother? And who are my brethren? You know, now, that may seem a very strange answer, you know, because his mother is right outside there. And of course, his brothers are there. So what kind of questioning is this? I mean, your family is out there trying to speak to you. So he stretched forth his hand towards his disciples. And he said unto them, behold my mother, and behold my brethren. And, you know, while they were still pondering in their hearts, what does it mean by that? So he went ahead and explained, for whosoever shall do the will of my Father, which is in heaven, the same is my brother, The same is my sister, and the same is my mother. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
That's right. So Jesus is putting it right down. Say, I don't know about this mother and brother, sister, bro, whatever. I don't know what claim anybody claims to have to me, except they do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, he's not saying his natural mother wasn't doing his will. He's not saying his brothers are not, but he's saying that's not the definition of how to be in the family of God. How you get into and be a part of the family of God is to do the will of God. Period. Not just one time. No. You know, but your life must be constantly in the will of God. Constantly in the will of God. You know, so now we've seen scriptures where Jesus made it point blank that, look, nobody is going to get into heaven except they do the will of God. Even those that came there and thought we should enter, that made claim to all the things they did on earth and so forth, and Jesus said no. You know, so, because you lived a life that was involved with unrighteousness. And then he turns around here and tells us that, look, it's not like that. Just because you are born into this family or you are born into that, or your name is this or your name is that, but those who do the will of God that is in heaven. Oh my. Well, what is the will of God then? I mean, if it is that important that we should do the will of God, what is the will of God? Now, in the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, and verse 17, you know, we will find out that it is important for us to understand the will of God and to understand what the will of God is. It says in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So what is the will of the Lord then? I mean, there are many scriptures that talk about various aspects of the will of God, you know, and so forth. But I'm not going to take a lot of time to go through all of them, because I'm going to concentrate on one part today. You know, there are scriptures that say this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you, even your sanctification. There's another scripture that says this is the will of God that you should give thanks in everything, you know, and so on, you know. So, but I'm going to wrap it up into one, you know, thing here this morning. But before I do that, let me tell you also that, you know, this, the premise that we are laying for entering into the kingdom of God, and the premise that we are laying for being, and laying claim to being a part of his family, is doing the will of God. I want to make sure that we make no mistake about that. Now listen to this in 1 John, you know, chapter 2, and listen to what the Bible says in verse 17. It said, look, there are, that's 1 John, the epistle, not the gospel. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 17. There are many things, you know, that we see, you know, that will fade away. The grass, you know, the flower, and all the pretty things, they fade away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Can I get an amen on that? You know, all of these scriptures that we've been bringing so far, you know, abiding forever is the same as having eternal life. You know, so God is telling us that the way to do this, the way to get in and be a part of God's eternal kingdom, is to do the will of God. Well, what is the will of God then? Well, you know, there are many places and many scriptures that tell us what it is. But let's see what Jesus himself had to say about that. Now, of course, you know, it was very difficult for the people to understand Jesus during his days. And we have the privilege now of looking back and reading the Bible and reading all the things that everybody else had to say about him, you know. And by this grace of the Holy Spirit, we can understand. But for those people who were living in his time, many of their eyes were blinded. They couldn't understand it, you know. I mean, how can you just all of a sudden think that this person, they knew his mother, they knew his supposed father. They thought Joseph was his father, of course. And we know better than that. You know, and they knew his brother. And there many times they said, look, is this not the son of Joseph the carpenter? are his brethren not here with us, and his mother, and so forth. So Jesus, many times, he had to set them straight, you know. And over and over, he told them. And I like this chapter 6 of the Gospel of John. He told them many, many things about himself, what it's all about, you know, but they couldn't understand it, you know. But, you know, most of the time when Jesus preached, you know, he didn't use, you know, great grammatical constructs that would make people's heads spin. He just used natural words like bread, corn, sower, rock, house, egg, scorpion, serpent. You know, he just used these words. You know, so in this one place, he was also talking to them and said, look, you know, since they, you know, everybody understood what bread is, and everybody understand, you know, anybody like to eat, you know. He says to them, look, I am the bread of life. You know, now that got them wild up because, you know, how can you be the bread of life? You know, and, you know, he also tells them, look, except you eat my flesh and drink my blood, my lambs. You know, are you calling us cannibals? I mean, are you going to feed us your flesh? I mean, how disgusting. Eat your flesh? We have none of that. Well, Jesus said, well, you know, of course, he also told them that if you are part of God, you will understand my speech. Amen? But because you are not part of God, you cannot understand my speech. You cannot know my word. You can't hear it. You know, so now let's listen to this. In the book of John, chapter 6, let me just read a couple of verses to you here, starting at John chapter 6 and verse 38. Of course, Jesus always said, look, I didn't come, you know, for myself, or I didn't come to do my will, but I came to do my Father's will. So here is John, you know, here is John chapter 6, and let me read at verse 38, if you would please. And he said, for I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And he would say something like this over and over and over again. Now, what is the Father's will then? And he's going to explain in the next verse. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all that he has given me, I should lose nothing. Hallelujah, somebody. But I should raise it up at the last day. Now that is God's eternal will, how he will gather together all things in Christ, and it will happen. And this is a different kind of God's will that I'm talking about. There are various kinds of it, but this one is God's decreed will, if you want to call it that way. This is what is going to happen, whether anybody likes it or not. Amen. Amen? Amen? That's right. God has some will, his eternal purpose. That will happen no matter who likes it or doesn't like it, his eternal purpose will come to pass. Amen. Amen. In fact, God has ordained us according, I preached on that before, you know, God's eternal purpose. I'm going to that too heavily this morning. But his eternal purpose will stand. Hallelujah. A part of that eternal purpose, it was predetermined by, we are told, by the predetermined counsel of God that the Son of God should come into this world and die for our sins. That was his will. You know, and there's nothing anybody could have done about it. And during, in exercising God's eternal will, God will actually allow some things to happen that may look contrary to his will. Well, that may be hard for some of you to understand, you know. But, you know, like when they were trying to crucify Christ and so forth like that, and all of the things they did to him and so forth, and how they disrespected him and so forth. He who was the creator, and all the things they did to him, you know. So, looking from the outside, might seem like, you know, why did God allow all of these things? But because his eternal purpose must stand. Jesus said, for this cause I came forth and proceeded out of God. And this is the commandment I received from my Father, that I should lay down my life and I should take it up again. So he said, look, this is the will of God, that all that he has given me, I will lose nothing, but I will raise it up at the last day. And this is again, he went forward and said, this is again the will of him that sent me, that everyone that seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life. And I will, and he keeps on saying that throughout this chapter, I will raise him up at the last day. Now that is a promise that will never fail. Yeah. Hallelujah. I don't care how you go, and I don't care if, you know, the Bible says the days are coming that those that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Hallelujah. And those that have believed him while they were living, they shall rise up to newness of life. Jesus said, I will raise him up at the last day. So he will lose none of it, you know, and so forth. So, you know, that's one portion of God's eternal purpose, showing the, you know, everything that was driving Jesus, the purpose why he came. You know, one time, Jesus, when he was at the well, in John chapter 4, you know, and his disciples went to the city to go and get some food. And this woman came, and so forth, you know, and she was talking to him, and all of that. I mean, and he talked to her, revealed some things in her life, you know. And finally, his disciples came back. You know, they thought he was hungry. And then when he came back, he was like, I'm not hungry anymore. And he's like, did anybody give him any food? I thought we went to get the food. And Jesus said to them in John chapter 4 and verse 34. He said, my food, or my meat, is to do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. You know, so that was his purpose. He was consumed by this purpose. He was consumed. He said, but that's even my food, he said. Hallelujah, somebody. To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. And he never stopped, and he kept going. And finally, when he hung upon that cross, he said, it is finished. Hallelujah. And that's the reason. You ought to give the Lord a hand clap for that, because that is the reason why you are sitting in those seats here this morning. Because he never faltered. He stayed with that will of God. And he went all the way for it. And that's the reason why you are sitting there in those seats this morning. And he did it. He did it too. And Jesus, he said, look, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Now, he was praying in John 17. And he prayed and said to the Father, he said, as you have sent me, that's John 17 and verse 18. As you have sent me into this world to be the light of the world, even so have I sent them. That's what he said in his prayer. And then he turned around in John chapter 20 and verse 21 and told it point blank to them as well. And he said, as the Father has sent me, even so send I you. He told them. First in his prayer to God, and then turn around and declare this point blank to them. Well then, so what does that mean? And Jesus in that prayer, he said, neither pray I for these alone, but for everyone down through the ages who will eventually hear about me through the word that these ones will preach and as it carries on down through. He prayed for all of us. And so, the proclamation that Jesus made there covers all of us. If you believe that prayer covers you, then his proclamation covers you as well. So, as he sent the disciples, or the apostles initially, even so has he sent us as well. Amen. And Jesus said, and how did he send him? Well, we're told in Acts 10 and 38, how God sent forth Jesus Christ of Nazareth, anointed him with the Holy Ghost and power. And he went about doing good. Now that's the first thing. Because God is good. Amen. Amen, somebody. God is good. And everywhere God goes, the there must be goodness and mercy. You know, that's the first thing about God. He is good. So he went about doing good. Hallelujah. And healing all those who were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. And he said, look, that is my meat. To do the will of him that sent me and to finish his work. My goodness. Well, you know, so we see that there is God's eternal will. And then there is God's corporate will for the church. We just talked about that. That is, we must do that which he sent us to do. Hallelujah, somebody. That's right. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. And you must carry this message. And what is the message? Jesus Christ, him crucified, shed his blood for the remission of sins of as many as who believe, and raised again by the power of God for our justification. Can I get an amen on that? Justified means just as if you never did it. Praise God. You know, that's right. God not only forgives your sin through the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, but he also justifies you. And everybody that initially said no to God, whether they are harlots, whether they are sinners, no matter what they are, when they receive that blood of Jesus Christ, the atoning work, they are not only forgiven, but they are justified in the name of the Lord. And that means it's as if they never did it. Praise God. Isn't that wonderful? Hallelujah! Oh my! It's as if you never did it! You know, I tell you what, people will forgive you, but they will still remember what you did. Hello? Everybody that said they forgive you, they still remember what you did. But God said, as far as the east is from the west, so have I blotted out your transgressions, and I will remember your sins no more. It is as if you never did it. That's the way that God, when he forgives you, he justifies you, he cleanses you, puts you out. You know, it's kind of like new slate, if you want to call it that. Amen. Praise God. God is so wonderful. You know, and I want to tell you here this morning, there is a story that Jesus told in the Bible. In Luke chapter 8, you know, he told his story. He said, look, you know, especially because, you know, Luke chapter 18, especially because, you know, of, certain people that think or trust in themselves that they are righteous, and they despise others. Luke chapter 18 and verse 9. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. The reason they thought they were righteous was because they said yes to God. You know, but they are not really doing the will of God. They are not living in the will of God. But they think they are better than others just because they say yes to God. And listen to this story that Jesus told. He said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee that said yes openly in the public. And the other was what everybody calls a sinner. So the Pharisee, he stood and prayed thus with himself. See, notice he prayed with himself. You know, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, as extortioners, unjust, harlots, all of these things, you know, bunch of unbelievers, you know, and all these things. I'm not like them. You know, I'm this and that, you know. Call himself any name you want. You know, and he said, well, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all I possess. I do all of these things. I believe in the word. I do all of that, and so forth. You know, and he just strutted his stuff before God, you know, and all that. Well, you know. Then the other man, who was a sinner, rejected and counted nothing. He could not even so much as lift up his head. And he just said, there was only one thing he could pray. Have mercy upon me, because I'm a miserable sinner. Amen. Amen, somebody. That's all he could pray. He couldn't boast about anything. You know, he had nothing to boast about. And Jesus said in verse 14, I tell you that this man who was called a sinner went home justified. That's as if he never did it. Hallelujah, somebody. And he went into the kingdom of God before the one that thought he was righteous. Before the one that said, yes, I fast twice a week. Yes, I come to church. Yes, I'm a preacher. Yes, I sing in the choir. You know, whatever. See? Did you say, or have you said yes to God? That's wonderful. But are you doing His will? Because not everyone that say unto me, yes, Lord, but those that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now, of course, you know, you say, the will of God? Absolutely. Now, there is also God's will for your life. Your individual life. We talked about His eternal purpose. We talked about His corporate will. There's also God's will for your individual life. But there are many areas. Now, this is God's commanded will, you know. And in that commanded will, or whatever you want to call it, He, you know, it's not often done. See, God's eternal purpose, God's eternal will be done, no matter who wants to work against it or not. Amen? There is nobody that can stop that. It will happen. Because it is eternal purpose. Now, but there is some other will of God that He leaves you to figure out on your own. You know? And sometimes people do, sometimes they don't. You know? But you say, well, how should I know that? Well, there's a lot of things that God leaves you to figure out on your own. God doesn't tell you. You know, of course, this Bible. Now, let me say this before I go to the other one. This Bible right here contains God's revealed will for your life. In whatever God considers to be of value. Or eternal value. It's in here in this Bible. If it's not in this Bible, you know, if you have a question, somebody once said, if you have a question, you know, and the, you know, the answer is not in this Bible, then the question is not important. Amen? Hello? That's right. It's not important. You know, so, because the answer is here. Because this is the book of life, right here. You know, so if it is important, it's in here. Now, God doesn't tell you in the morning whether you should wear your pair of brown shoes or blue shoes or wear a white shirt or a red tie. You know, you can do whatever you want. Now, God may tell you to wear a white shirt. He may do that. And the reason He will only do that is perhaps He's already shown somebody else that you will be coming today wearing a white shirt. Hello, somebody. So He can do that. You know, I have known Him to do that. So don't tell me He can't do that. Well, I'm not talking about it. God can't tell you today, put on that yellow tie, which may look funny, but He wants you to put it on. Because He already showed somebody that when you come in, you'll be wearing a yellow tie. You know, so we must obey the Spirit in that way. But I'm telling you, what I'm trying to say is that, look, you know, He doesn't tell you what brand of orange juice to drink. Hello? You know, and He couldn't care which brand you drank, you know, because those things will go into the mouth and they will go out the drought, Jesus said. Hallelujah! But the things that come from inside, that's what He cares about. You know, so whether you drink this juice or that juice, that's your problem. You know, that's your choice. You know, some things you should and should not drink for your health reasons, and we know about that, but, you know, that's not what we're talking about here. You know, so, but how do you walk in His will then? Well, here is how you do it. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. You know, this is how you do it, finally. Because unless you do this that I'm about to say, and be not conformed to this world. but being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, I want to talk for just a little bit about renewing of your mind. You know, this is how you do the will of God in every area of your life, is renewing of your mind. When you allow the Lord to, and how do you renew your mind? By aligning your mind with the Word of God. You cannot renew your mind by listening to psychotherapists or physiotherapists or whatever psychologists on television. You know, you must do it by the Word of God. Hallelujah, somebody. The Word of God is pure. It is a lamp to your feet and a light to your path. And when you renew your mind with the Word of God, by the washing of water with the Word, when you wash your mind with the Word, when you renew your mind with the Word constantly, until you are united with that Word. Hallelujah. And when you are united with that Word, even your unconscious actions begin to be in line with God's will. That's right. There are many things that we do that we don't think about. Hello? In fact, I dare say that majority of the things you do, you don't think about. Just do it. You know? You know, I can tell you a lot of things I do that I don't think about. But because by the grace of God, I have the mind of Christ. Hello? That's right. We have the mind of, I don't have to worry about this or that, because I already have the mind of Christ. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. The mind of Christ comes by soaking your mind with the Word of God. Because the Word was made flesh. You can listen to that sermon from 2 weeks ago. That's how, you know, when you renew your mind, He becomes a part of your life. You know, and you become a part of Him. You become united with His Word. Even things you do unconsciously is already in line with the Word, because your mind is in line with Him. Amen, somebody. Amen, somebody. You know, you wouldn't need to see a vision, see a dream, you know, this and that, because your mind is already in you. Now, God can speak in visions and dreams, you know, and we know that, you know, but I'm telling you that having your minds renewed, don't be conformed to what the world is saying, but have your minds renewed. That's how you walk in His will. Blessed be the name of Jesus. And everything that God will have for you to do, you know, not just His eternal purpose, which we know encompasses everything, not just His corporate will, which we know that's for the church, but even His personal will for you, you know, when your mind is renewed by the Holy Ghost through the washing of water and the Word, you will be able to decipher, that you may prove, that is, you may be able to decipher what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. In the mind of Christ, when your mind becomes like His mind through the reading of His Word, you will be able to know, having your senses exercised through the reason of use, to be able to discern good and evil. We're told in the book of Hebrews. By you getting closer and clinging to this Word, His will will become even more natural for you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, only those that do my will. Listen to what He says in Isaiah 29. We're going to close in a couple of minutes. Isaiah 29, He says in verses 13 and 14. Now, God has no pleasure when we say yes with our lips. This is where the message started, and I'm bringing it to a close to remind you of this as well. God has no pleasure when we say yes to Him, but our hearts are far from Him. Amen? Amen, somebody. He said, look, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as these people draw near to me with their mouth, and with their lips they say yes to me, pretty much, but they have removed their heart far from me, because they don't do my will. And their affair is taught by the precept of men, you know, conformed to this world, rather than they having their minds renewed. You say, well, Because of that, I will proceed to do a work in their days and darken their understanding and so forth like that. You know, so God is not pleased when we say yes with our lips, but our hearts are not united with His will. God is not pleased when we worship the Lord with our lips only, but our hearts are far removed from God. For your heart to be united with God, for God to be pleased with you, your mind must be renewed. Not conformed to this world, but renewed. Hallelujah. By the washing of water and the world. By the regeneration of a Holy Ghost. You know, God renewing your minds. You know, because once you have the mind of Christ, my goodness, then you can say, like Christ said, I come not to do my own will, but my Father's will. And Christ said repeatedly, the Son can do nothing of Himself except that which the Father shows Him. You think that, you know, Jesus was every day waiting first to see a vision before He would do anything? You know, that's what some of us have thought. You know, I've thought that too until this weekend, and the Lord showed it to me. You know, but you know, the Lord made me realize that Jesus was perfectly in line with the Word. He was unified with the Father. And so His every thought, His every word, His even action was already in line with the Father. That's right. You know, He was in line because His mind was unified with the Father's mind. You know, and that's why He can say, look, not my will be done, but that will be done. Of course, you know, if the Lord wanted to show Him something specifically, we don't count that one out as well. You know, but listen to this. I want you to know that Jesus, He came into this world and He became a man like you and me. Even though He was God. The Bible says that the Word was made flesh and He became just like us. So He had to go through certain things, you know, like us. And He had to learn, even though He was that Word, you know, He had to also learn to put that flesh in line with the Word. That's right. He had to do that. And He was submissive to the Spirit of God. He was submissive to the Father's will. You know, in fact, even at the age of 12, you know, when the parents thought that Mary, of course, and his and Joseph, when they thought He was in their company when they went for a trip and are coming back and they couldn't find Him, you know, He stayed in the temple teaching the older people, you know. And finally said, wow, you know, this and that. And they challenged Him about it. I said, don't you know that I must be about my Father's will? Amen? I must do the will of my Father and His work. I must be about my Father's business. From the beginning, He was unified with the Father's business. He was unified with the will of God. And He knew exactly what God wanted Him to do. Because His mind was not only submissive, you know. Yes, let me put it to you this way. When your mind becomes the throne of the Holy Spirit, then you are in line with His will. Amen? That's right. When the Holy Spirit rules in your mind, you know, not the things of this world, not the filthy stuff that you see on TV or video games and all this stuff, you know, and so forth. But when you line up your mind with the Word of God and let Him have the first, last, and every say in your life, you know, then you are in line with the Word of God. And I want to tell you this in closing. I want you to think about what this message said this morning. You know, I learned, you know, when I was in college, I learned, you know, how to make a dissertation. I mean, or write a paper. You know, contains generally three parts. First part is an abstract, which you tell them what you are going to tell them. And then the main part is where you actually tell them what it is, the topic. And then there is the conclusion in which you tell them what you just told them. Hello. So I told you what I was going to tell you. This is kind of like a teaching this morning. When I'm preaching, you know it's different. You know, I'm yelling and jumping up and down, you know, and so on. So somebody once said, what is the difference between a preacher and a teacher? Well, a teacher teaches, you know, or tells it, and a preacher yells it. Amen. So that's the difference. So I'm telling it today, not exactly yelling it, you know. So I just bring it down, teach it, and make it slow, make sure everybody understands. So when you're teaching like this, so I tell you what I'm going to tell you, I tell it to you, and I tell you again what I told you. So here is what I told you, in case you fell asleep. Here's what I told you. Except ye do the will of God, you cannot be his brother, his sister, his mother, or even make it into the kingdom of God. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. The will of God. Now there are several aspects of this message that I left out on account of time. But I think I have said enough to give you food for thought. To do the will of God must be the primary thing in our lives. You must be consumed with it. Just like Jesus was consumed with it. Even when he was 12 years old, he was already consumed with it. He was consumed with it all the way to the cross. Consumed with doing the will of the Father. And he said, you know, just like the Father sent me, even so have I sent you. Now I know and I recognize that we are all in this world and we have various things and so forth to deal with. Well, those things are obstacles and challenges and so forth only if your mind is not renewed. When your mind is renewed, like we are talking about today, and you are in line with the Word of God, all these temporal things that are happening around won't even move you at all. Amen? You will be focused and you will be zoomed in on the will of the Father. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. You know, of course, things will always be happening around you, you know, but your own life will be a pleasure to the Lord because it is according to His will. And if your life is according to His will, remember, He said, they that do the will of God, they are the ones that abide forever. Now, I want you to throw up your hands this morning. And I want you to pray. And I want you to ask the Lord to help you in understanding what the will of the Lord is. I want you to ask the Lord to help you in understanding His eternal purpose. How that by the predeterminate counsel of God, it was in His plans to bring Jesus to die for your sins. And when you understand that, you will know that it is only through the blood of Jesus Christ that you have redemption. You cannot claim redemption through the works that you've done. It will not happen. When you stand before God and you say, well, I healed a lot of sick, I prayed for people, I preached all over here, and I traveled all over the world and did all of these things, that's not going to count. What's going to count is, have you been justified by the blood of Jesus Christ? Being justified by the blood of His cross, we are told. Have you been justified? Are your sins washed? Are you washed in the garment, you know, are your garments that are stained with sin, are they washed in His blood? Are they being made white as snow? There is a fountain that is filled with blood. Hallelujah. That fountain has the blood of Jesus. And every sinner's sin and so forth, you know, that have been stained and every life that has been stained, when they are dipped in that fountain, they come out clean. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Now, if you have never understood what salvation is all about, I just told you. That's what it is. Justified in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, if you have said yes to God, that's one side. If you have never said yes to God, you are still saying no. I'm not asking you this morning to keep saying no to God. The people that said no, the one son that said no, he repented and did the Father's will. So if you are still saying no to God, you need to repent this morning and turn around and do the Father's will. Can I get an amen? Amen. And if you have said yes to God, your yes alone is not enough. You must be doing the will of God. That's what this message is talking about this morning. So whether you have not yet said yes, or you have said yes, are you doing the will of God? Now for those of you who have said yes, and I would like to believe that everybody here has said yes, but if you are here this morning, I never want to lose an opportunity to let somebody say yes for Jesus. Hello? You know, praise God. And if you've never said yes to the Lord, and you've never turned over your will, or perhaps you said yes, but you are still holding on to your will. Well, I want to tell you something here this morning. I don't want any heads to be bowed. Hello? Because when Jesus died, he hung upon the cross publicly for everybody to see. Amen? So I don't know why heads have to be bowed when somebody has to make a decision for Christ. I don't even like that. You know, I want you to declare your stand for Christ. And let everybody see it. Because Christ was not ashamed to be put on the cross for you. So I don't need any head to be bowed. I want everybody to see you, that you are saying yes. Amen? Amen. And if you are not willing to make that choice to let the whole world see that you are saying yes to Christ, then you're not ready to follow Christ. So don't nobody bow no heads here this morning. Hello? So if you want to say yes to Christ, perhaps for the first time, I want to see you come up here while everybody is looking and say yes to Christ. Now, if you want to say yes to Christ for the first time, come on out. But if you have said yes before and you are not doing his will, and you want to say, I will repent and begin to do his will, I want you to come around. I want everybody to be seeing you. Now, don't look around. See, that's the problem with people. Everybody always look around and say, well, gee, you know, if I stand up now, what are they going to think about me? Well, that is their thought about you. And that's not going to get you anywhere. If you don't make that choice, and Lord told me to do it this way, you know, and that's the way I'm going to do it now, from now on, you know, and perhaps I will get fewer people into the altar call, but that's okay. That's right. You know, because every time you tell people to bow their heads, then somebody is bold to come up. I don't care about that. You know, if you want to make a public declaration for Christ, you stand up and walk down the aisle. Let everybody see you and be counted for Christ. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And if you want to cross over from saying, well, I said yes, but I wasn't doing his will, but now I want to do his will, I want you to step out and come out and let everybody see you. I don't want no heads bowed. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, hallelujah. And I tell you something, too. You know, just like many people here, I myself, that I'm holding this mic, I am in that second category. And I'm going to drop down here, you know, because, yeah, I've said yes to God, but I'm not always doing his will, you know, because I understand his corporate will, and I understand his eternal purpose and his will. I understand that. But I want my life to be 100% aligned with his word. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
You know, and there are many areas in which my life is still lacking. But I have proposed in my heart, and so help me God, that I will be just like the Christ. Hallelujah. Because Christ was submissive in all things. And I want to be submissive to him in all things as well. Now, those of you who are here, I want you to drop down on your knees and lift up your hands and let's pray together. And I want you to ask the Lord, and the Lord is merciful. I want you to ask Him for grace, because the Bible says, let us come boldly to the throne of grace. Ask Him for grace that your mind might be renewed, so that you might accept, so that you might be able to prove what is God's good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. So that every day, you might be able to walk in His will. Father, we thank You, and we pray, and we love You, Lord, this morning, because You first loved us. We thank You for what You did at the cross. And we thank You, Lord, for the proclamation that You said, only those that do the will of My Father, which is in heaven, even those shall be called My brother, My sister, and My mother. Now today, Lord, for those who are here submitting and rededicating themselves before You, I pray for grace and mercy of God in their lives, so that we all may have our minds renewed in doing the will of God every day of our lives. And for God's eternal purpose, which no man can stop. We know, Lord, that that is already in motion. And we are part of that, and we thank You for that. For God's corporate purpose for the church, where He said, I have sent you even as My Father sent me. Father, we pray, Lord, help us to carry that commission everywhere we go, doing good, just like You did, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. And Father, Lord, for Your will in our personal lives, every day, teach every one of us to be more submissive to that will, so that we may walk with You, and the light, the Bible says, for the just, is as a shining light. Your path will be as a shining light. And it will be shining more and more until the perfect day. The closer you align yourself with the Word of God, the brighter your light will shine more and more until the perfect day. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everybody says, amen. Let's put our hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah! 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 Praise God. Amen.